Member of my family is going to wear a headset for right now. I don't like that thing. He wears one at Wendy's. He works at Wendy's. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this day. Yesterday was one of the most beautiful days we've had in a long time, and you created it. I know you were in control yesterday the same way you are on an ugly, gray, snowy winter day. You're still in control. We have seasons, and the season we're in now, Lord, yesterday was a beautiful day. So help us just to see your beauty in everything. Have your way in this service, Lord. Speak through me. And we'll give you all the praise and glory for everything. Amen. Good morning. Put my eyes on so I can see. I haven't talked to you for a little while. We have about, 3 weeks left before school goes back? Is that right? 3 weeks left before school goes back. I know the kids are just excited as can be to go back to school. Parker's going in the 11th grade and is working at Wendy's right now. Jackson is going in the 8th grade. I got you, 8th grade. 8th grade, he turned 14 on Thursday. Happy birthday, Jack. And then Holden turns 11 this Thursday. They're a week apart. And he is being Holden. He's fine. Sam will be seven, on the 22nd of August. So we have kind of a flurry of birthdays. There's plenty of birthdays in August. Daryl, Grandpa was, Jesse, me, niece, and my sister. Lots of people in our family. Josh, true. Jim, Wilson. Mets, yes. They're all on the same day, aren't they? All three of those guys. So the kids are all doing good. We leave for vacation next Friday, so you won't see me for a week after that, or 2 weeks, I guess. We didn't think we were going on vacation, and Joe decided she couldn't stand to not go on vacation, so we're going on vacation. And Joe's doing good. I've been working a little less than normal here lately, so that's been nice, especially in the summer. So that's the state of us, just to let you know. Okay, so I'm going to read you a list of titles here, and I just want you to listen to them. And these are titles of movies, okay? E.T., Alien, Star Wars, Star Trek, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, War of the Worlds, Avatar, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Cocoon, Signs, The Thing, Men in Black, The Last Starfighter, The Flight of the Navigator, Starman, Meet Dave, Battlestar Galactica, and V. Okay. Now who can tell me what all those are? Joe. Are science fiction movies. This is true. But they also are all science fiction movies about aliens. That's what they're about. And don't think I've lost my mind this morning. They're about aliens. Now, H.G. Wells wrote War of the Worlds, which is about Martians attacking Victorian England in 1898. That's when he wrote that. And Roswell, New Mexico, the city, makes millions of dollars a year off of tourism based around aliens. And out in that general area, we have Area 51, which is in Las Vegas, which is off limits, governmentally speaking. So, of course, there's mystery about what goes on there. Now, I'm not here today to debate with you the validity of your belief or unbelief in aliens. That is not why I'm here. I personally don't spend any time worrying about aliens. You won't catch me at home with one of those aluminum foil hats like from Signs, if you saw that movie. By the way, I would imagine if you saw one of those movies that I mentioned, raise your hand. Not one. You know, E.T. even? Most of us have seen a movie about an alien at some point in time, okay? You know, I was born in 1970, and of course, Star Wars came out in 1977. So, of course, as a kid, I had Luke and Darth Vader action figures, and actually still have them, and the kids play with them. And Chewbacca and all those guys. And as a kid, of course, Star Trek was on television, which was Spock with his little V hand sign, you know, live long and prosper. And then Mork took it sideways and made it his handshake. When I was a little older, I'm Mork and Mindy. You know, technology, because it's constant, ever-changing, has brought us many of the gadgets and the innovations that over the years were seen in science fiction movies. You know, if you had a flip phone in the last 10 years, when the flip phones first came out, you had to feel a little bit like Captain Kirk calling the Enterprise on your little, whatever they called that thing he had, his little thing. Okay, cool. Communicator. So anyway, I told you that to tell you this. I read something the other day, and God spoke to me immediately when I read it. And that's kind of what he does to me a lot. So I was reading the paper, and I read a story about a Russian billionaire who is investing $100 million over the next 10 years in a project that will scan the skies for signs of intelligent alien life. He's investing $100 million in that. And their goal, and this is totally serious, is to collect more data from outer space every single day than earlier efforts collected over an entire year. And they said they will use two of the world's largest radio telescopes and a new signal processing technique to scan a greater range of radio frequencies than ever before. And the researchers say their research will be 100 times better than any previous search for intelligent alien life. And a lot of the data that they're going to collect is coming from one of the telescopes that's in Green Bank, Wisconsin. It's a telescope the size of a football field. It's the world's largest radio telescope, and it sits in a national quiet zone where radio emissions are prohibited to increase the telescope's ability to detect faint signals from space. Okay? Now, I love when God uses things in the natural to declare the things of the spiritual, because he does it all the time. This project is called Breakthrough Listen. Listen. Breakthrough Listen is the name of this project. And when I read that in this article, and I was just sitting at lunch reading something to get through lunch, when I read that title, my spirit jumped inside of me.
Are you in need of a breakthrough? Question mark. Spiritual, physical, financial, family. Listen. Exclamation point.
Now, Joey and I spend a lot of time, I won't go into how much, trying to teach our boys how important it is to listen. And you can imagine how well at times they do it. Because we were all kids. You were all kids at one time. And I'm sure you weren't always the world's best listener either. But it's really an invaluable skill. Now, all of us struggle to hear God's voice from time to time. You know, that's just reality. And God speaks to each of us differently. God gave me a message a few years ago about how God speaks to us in a dialect that we can understand. You know, like I said back then, you know, Bob's from Maine, so he says certain words a certain way. If you're from Louisiana, you say things a whole lot differently. If you're from Alabama, if you're from Minnesota, you know. So I believe God speaks to you in a way that you can understand. And I'm not just talking audibly. I mean in things that you can understand. You know, he knows how to reach you. And, you know, God has a sense of humor. And I'm glad that he does. And he kind of confirmed to me the other day, you know, what I was thinking he wanted me to talk to you about. In a somewhat strange way. Two Fridays ago, Joey and I and the kids, we went to Clyde and Deb's house for dinner. Josh made us dinner. And we went up there. And I had got a movie out of the library for the kids to watch, or for Sam and Holden, really, but I mean for everyone, but them in particular. And there was God speaking to me through the voice of Foghorn Leghorn on the television. Because what was he saying to the little chicken that's not listening to him talking when he's talking to him? I say, listen to me, boy. Pay attention when I'm talking to you. You're not paying attention. How many times does Foghorn Leghorn say that in a cartoon? Pay attention, boy. You're not listening to me. So, breakthrough, listen. What does that mean? Well, I looked up the word breakthrough. And this is what the definition was. A movement through and beyond an enemy's defensive system. Listen. To give attention for the purpose of hearing, to heed or pay attention. Now, I read that there are just short of 6 billion cell phone contracts in the world. Now, that doesn't really mean there's 6 billion cell phones in the world, because there's 7 billion people in the world, but there's 6 billion cell phone contracts in the world. I have a question. Are we any better listeners than we used to be? Or are we just more distracted than we used to be? Joey and I went to dinner the other night, Chipotle. We were eating, and I look over, and there's a guy sitting at this tall table with his wife, girlfriend, whatever she was. And he had a phone a little smaller than this piece of paper, a little smaller than that. And he's eating, and it's up here, and she's sitting over there. And I thought, wow, that doesn't look like a very good date. You know, there are like, they say there's like 2 million divorces a year. How many of them do you think were caused by too much communication between the husband and wife? You know, my husband, he just listens to me way too much. We can't stay together. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Rich talked to us about our mountaintop and our valley experiences, you know, and it was good. And he talked to us about how we seem to grow more in the valley, in the low places, than we do up on the high places. Our ears, for some reason, seem to be a little more receptive when it gets tough and dark and scary and lonely and cold. You know, if you remember what I told you about that Green Bank telescope that said it sits in a national quiet zone, and that helps the telescope detect faint signals. Anybody watch PBS at all? Rick Steves does the travel show on PBS. He travels all across Europe. He has a radio show, which is kind of strange, but he has a radio show. And I heard his radio show the other day, and he was talking about an Italian man who's a friend of his who goes on trips across the Sahara Desert on his motorcycle. And this guy has a big old time. I mean, they were talking about the conditions and how rough it is and how when he pulls up to a small town, because these towns are very backward, you know, he will stop outside of the town, walk into town, and ask them if it's okay if he rides through their town. And usually then, yes, it is. And a lot of times they'll give him a place to stay. They'll feed him, you know. And, I mean, it's a little more extreme than I think I'm up for sure. But this guy just loves riding through the Sahara Desert on a motorcycle. Well, this man said something that was pretty interesting to me. And he said that if you get far enough away from the artificial lights of town, because there's not many towns in those areas, but he said if you get 100, 200 miles away from the nearest town, you get away from the artificial light of town, he said the stars, not to mention the moon, are so bright sometimes at night that you need sunglasses. He said it's that bright. And it's, you know, if you've ever done this, you know, you will understand when I say God confirms things to you, you know. You know, part of me was like, do I really want to stand up there and talk to them about aliens for a couple of minutes? Well, this morning I saw a commercial with Marvin the Martian on it. A Nike commercial. I haven't seen Marvin the Martian in a long time since I watched a cartoon. And I'm walking by the television, and there's Marvin the Martian, and I'm thinking, holy, okay, Lord, I'll trust you that you know what you're talking about here, and you've told me what to say, okay? So I won't worry about it. This morning, I was watching SportsCenter as I was getting dressed, and I usually watch the Sunday morning show. We were almost ready to leave. I turn on the Sunday morning show for a minute, and what's the story on there? Of the 100 billion stories that could be on that show this morning, I see the very end of a story about these people who go and look at the stars at night with no lights around and the light show that's put on. Now, people, that's not just coincidence. I'm sorry. If you know, it's not. And it may not make you feel inside like it made me feel inside, but you know, that kind of stuff with God, you just can't explain. You know, there could have been a story about every other thing in the world this morning for the 5 seconds that I was going to turn that channel on before we left upstairs. And it's about the stars. And these people go, I don't know where they were. I didn't see enough of the story. they go out and they collect up in this group and they bring their big telescopes and they showed some of the pictures of the stars. And they said out there where it's so dark that the Milky Way looks like clouds, or the Big Dipper looks like clouds. There's so many stars that you can see. And they showed some pictures, and I don't think the pictures did it justice, really, but it was beautiful, you know. And the guy was saying that when the moon is full, you can read a book with no light, you know. He said it's just unbelievable. So that spoke to me, you know. And I heard this man talking about that. That was before this morning, you know. And if we can get away from the enemy's defense system, distractions, and listen with the purpose of hearing, there is a transforming change that can happen in us. And it doesn't end there. Then there's a call to action once you've been transformed. And if you heed that call to action, what comes from that? A reflection of that radiant light that is God, just like those stars in the dark Sahara night. But it comes from you. So as I was kind of thinking about that, I think there's only one person that God could bring to my mind. Saul. Paul. So Acts 9, I'm going to read you 1 to 31. But I'm reading it out of the Message Bible. My headline here in the little in my Bible says, the blinding of Saul. All this time, Saul was breathing down the necks of the master's disciples, out for the kill. He went to the chief priests and got arrest warrants to take to the meeting places in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there belonging to the way, whether men or women, he could arrest them and bring them to Jerusalem. He set off. When he got to the outskirts of Damascus, he was suddenly dazed by a blinding flash of light. As he fell to the ground, he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me?" He said, "Who are you, Master?" "I am Jesus, the one you're hunting down. I want you to get up and enter the city. In the city, you will be told what to do next." His companions stood there dumbstruck. They could hear the sound, but couldn't see anyone. While Saul, picking himself up off the ground, found himself stone blind. They had to take him by the hand and lead him into Damascus. He continued blind for 3 days. He ate nothing, drank nothing. There was a disciple in Damascus by the name of Ananias. The master spoke to him in a vision. "Ananias?" "Yes, master," he answered. "Get up and go over to Straight Avenue. Ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus. His name is Saul. He's there praying. He has just had a dream in which he saw a man named Ananias enter the house and lay hands on him so he could see again." Ananias protested, "Master, you can't be serious. Everyone's talking about this man and the terrible things he's been doing. His reign of terror against your people in Jerusalem, and now he's showing up here with papers from the chief priest that give him license to do the same to us." But the master said, "Don't argue, go. I have picked him as my personal representative to Gentiles and kings and Jews. And now I am about to show him what he's in for. The hard suffering that goes with this job." So Ananias went and found the house, placed his hands on blind Saul, and said, "Brother Saul, the master sent me. The same Jesus you saw on your way here, he sent me so you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." No sooner were the words out of his mouth than something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got to his feet, was baptized, and sat down with them to a hearty meal. So, upon hearing the voice of the Lord, Saul lost his sight. And as he was waiting there, it said he had no food and no water. So he couldn't see. Food and water didn't matter. Nothing else mattered at that point but hearing more from God. Saul had a breakthrough listen right there. And what did he receive? He received a new name and a new nature. Saul, the man with a thirst to eliminate the followers of Christ, was transformed into Paul, the man who wrote a treasure chest full of truth. Real, honest, road map for our life revelations. I had to smile when we sung a song this morning that talked about you are my treasure. You know, Paul, it would be safe to say at one point there before his transformation was probably devoid of love almost to a point. You know, he was not married. He was out to get the followers of Jesus. And he went from there to writing the best description of love that I've ever heard, that is used in weddings all the time. I always like to use it when I do a wedding. And when I do it, I try to use the New Living Translation. And this is what it says. This is Paul's definition of love, a man who, before his transformation, I'm not sure knew anything about love. He wrote, "Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him." Now, I feel like God wants me to give you a challenge, and I'm taking a challenge to have a breakthrough listen in your life. You've all had one in the past. You may have had countless. But here's what I would encourage you to do. This is what I'm going to do. Steal a little of your time back. Amen. Get far away from those artificial lights for a little bit. Those distractions. And listen. Can we learn to hear more in a day than we've heard in a year? Like that telescope's trying to do? I believe we can. And the best thing is everyone in here will reap the benefits of your transformation. That's all I have for you this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask you to just help us
to desire more and more and more and more and more and more of you, more than we desire more and more of anything else. Because nothing else satisfies. It all leaves us hollow. But the feeling, when we feel your presence and we hear your voice, even in something so simple as what I saw on a TV show this morning that confirmed what you were saying to me. That there's not many other things in this natural world that feel like that, Lord. There's just not. A deep, intimate relationship with you is so much better than the other things that people try to take its place with. So, Lord, I ask you just to help our focus. Give us ears to hear what you would say. All the problems that each of us have, they can be taken care of if we'll just listen to what you say. So, Lord, I thank you for a chance to spend some time with you yesterday and for the past week. And I ask you to help me to get away from the lights and focus on you and just enjoy some time with you. So, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for the dinner we're about to have. I ask you just to bless the food for the nourishment of our bodies and bless the fellowship. Help us to listen to each other and speak the words to each other that you would have us speak, Lord. And I just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you. Have a good day.